Good morning. Carlene asked the kids the question earlier, what do you do to get ready for Christmas? Well, this past Friday, Cheryl and I pulled down all the Christmas stuff out of the attic and started decorating for Christmas, and I spent, I don't know, 3-4 hours out in the front yard, bent over. I would show you, but I can't. Bent over, sticking these little lights in our sidewalk. And so if I need some help getting down off the stage a little bit later, y'all will know why. Man, my hamstrings are telling me that I'm not 20 anymore. Isn't that bad when it's hazardous to put Christmas lights on? You know, I used to do them on the house, and I thought, well, I probably need to just start doing them down below. And dadgum if that's not hazardous. So glad that you're here this morning. Are you guys awake this morning? Amen. All right, no, first of all, I should have some sort of cue when I tell a joke that cue for you to laugh. I don't know if I do this or one of these deals or something, but you got to wake up this morning. All right? Everybody's still, you know, the turkey, what's that stuff in the turkey? Tryptophan? It's worn off by now, guys, okay? It's worn off. So glad that you are here. Hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, and maybe this is your first visit, and maybe it's your 50th visit, and you've never really kind of let us know who you are. There's a blue card in the pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out. Even if you already kind of are engaged with us, but we don't have your email, this is a place also you can put your email address on there. Be sure and check the box that you'd like to be added to our email list, and we'll try to get that done. I made the mistake last week, first one I've ever made, but I said that the discovery class where we learn about the church and learn about one another was this week. But then hopefully most of you got a correction on that. Monday or Tuesday I sent out a correction on that. It's actually next week. So the discovery class will be in the fellowship hall at 9 o'clock next week. Lots of stuff coming up. Lots of stuff coming up. We've got our Christmas workshop coming up on December the 10th. If you have, first of all, sign your kids up, your grandkids up, your neighbor kids up. It's a great time. But also, sign up to help. I tell you, it's a joy just to see the children. When we passed out turkeys Tuesday, that was my favorite thing, was watching. I don't remember who it was, but one of the little kids came up to me towards the end and said, I only got to pass out one turkey. They were so disappointed because there were so many people that they didn't get to do more. But it was just neat to see all the kids. And then next Sunday, am I right, Billy? The next Sunday is our all-church Christmas party. We'll have a really nice brisket meal. Come and be our guest. We'll get to hear the children sing. Lots of stuff going on. Try to keep you updated with that through the email. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know what? Stand if you're able. Let's stand just out of respect for God's word this morning. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Amen. If you would be seated. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be there. We trust that. We claim that. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, for you to speak. And for you to direct our hearts to hear, transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's sermon the pearl of great price. I don't know that I've ever preached on this particular parable that, or actually, I guess it's not a parable. I guess it's a statement from Christ. Now, so he starts off these two statements about the kingdom of heaven. He says the kingdom of heaven is like, and if you'll look at Scripture, the New Testament is full of Jesus saying that the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like, and he speaks of the kingdom over and over. In fact, God's kingdom, sometimes it's referred to as the kingdom of God, sometimes the kingdom of heaven. It's the same thing. God's kingdom is referred to 156 times in the New Testament alone. Jesus himself refers to the kingdom of heaven 84 times. And I was thinking about, what exactly is he trying to convey to us when he speaks of the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is. And what came to me this week, and I really never thought of it this way, was God's heart's desire. Okay, and it says in the Lord's Prayer, we pray this most every Sunday, thy will be done in heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And so even Jesus is teaching us that God's perfect will, his perfect desire, is already being accomplished in heaven, and our prayer is that his desire should be accomplished on earth. And so Jesus gives, over and over, he gives these examples about the kingdom. Today, we're going to really focus on this second piece of this. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. So I want us to really kind of dig down a little bit deeper. What does this mean? First of all, God is the merchant, and he's in passionate pursuit. God is the merchant, and he's in passionate pursuit. Just look at that passage again. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. So you can just see this. That's probably a bad example, but I'll tell you. When Cheryl and I were in Italy, we were actually in Florence. And they had an area there where where you could shop. They had all these little vendors set up there, and Cheryl was looking for that. They're known for their leather. I didn't know that, but Italy's known for its leather. And so Cheryl was looking for a purse for her and the girls. And oh my, were we on a search! I mean, we were passionately searching for. It was easier for her to pick one for herself, but as she was trying to pick one for the girls, analyze their tastes and pick out just the right one, and I was patient. I was patient, wasn't I? And we just spent a long time, but there was this passionate quest for these leather purses. And so I can envision this Jesus is saying this merchant is on this passionate quest for these fine pearls. Now listen to this, when you think about how I identified the kingdom of God is the God's heart's desire. Listen to what this really kind of is saying. The desire of God's heart is to pursue the things that he is passionate about. If God is passionate about it, he's in pursuit of it. He's in pursuit of it. Now, another example as we think about pursuit. Cheryl and I married. You've heard me tell you this before. We married really young. She was 18, I was 19. I know we were morons, okay? You don't have to tell me. We had no clue about anything. Mom, why did you let that? Probably because you knew Cheryl was a catch and didn't want her to get away. When we started dating, we met in youth group at a church. And we started dating, and we really had not started dating, but I kind of had my eye on Cheryl. And I was talking to her on the phone one day, and at this point we were just kind of friends in the youth group. And so we decided that we would call up all of the other friends in the youth group, and we would go to see, now this is dating this right here, we would go see the original Star Wars, first run at Westwood Theater. Go ahead, I found a picture. It's on, I don't know if you can see it, it's on the billboard, Star Wars, it's on the second screen at the Westwood Theater. That was 1977, and if you see a brown 63 Chevy short narrow bed pickup, that was mine, but I don't think that was the actual day I was there. I couldn't believe I stumbled across that picture. But, you know, start that Westwood Theater's going to be a church now. Did y'all know that? They're remodeling that for a church. And I know the pastor, really great guy, Radiant Life Church over there. But so I, Cheryl and I were talking on the phone and said, hey, you call so-and-sos and I'll call these folks and we'll all gather up a group and we'll go Star Wars. And so I hung up the phone and I'm thinking to myself, I ain't calling nobody. And so I waited a little while, an hour or so, and I called back and I said, that we had cords on the phones then. And I said, nobody can go. And Cheryl said, well, nobody can go on my end either. So I said, well, you want to still go? I mean, I was slick, man. Come on. You got to give me some props here. It was really kind of juvenile. But that was our first date. The Cheryl and I went to see Star Wars in 1977. And I had to trick her into going with me. But I remember moving into the neighborhood. Cheryl and I lived two blocks apart. And I remember moving into the neighborhood. Now, when I moved in the neighborhood, I was about 14 and Cheryl was about 12. And I remember saying to my mom, man, there's no cute girls in the neighborhood. And Cheryl, my mom said, you got the cutest little girl two blocks from here. And I said, who? She said, Cheryl Ridgway. And of course, Cheryl was 12. And I said, Cheryl Ridgway, she's a little kid. Well, about 2 years later, Cheryl wasn't a kid anymore. But I had my eye set on Cheryl, and there was pursuit. And she didn't know it, but she was being pursued. That's the way that God is teaching us this. The merchant is in passionate pursuit of these fine pearls. Now, notice that the pearls don't know they're being pursued. The pearls are not looking for the merchant. The merchant's looking for the pearls. All right, that leads us to the next step, number two. God, you are God's fine pearl of great value. I want to say that again. You are God's fine pearl of great value. Now, another way, a broader way to look at that is the church. But I've said this before, but who is the church? Is it this building? No, you and I are the church. So Jesus is saying that God's desire, the desire of God's heart, is you. I want to say that again. Jesus is saying in this parable, the desire of God's heart is you. Now, you have great value in God's eyes. I think some people here this morning maybe need to hear that. You have great value. And again, what's interesting is the pearls, using this example of the pearls, it's like the pearls are just there. I mean, they're not in pursuit of the merchant. They haven't done anything. The merchant sees value, and he's in passionate pursuit of this thing that he is passionate about, which is you. Now, you know, when most of us have had children, not all of us, but most of us have had children or grandchildren or both, maybe great-grandchildren. And the thing that I remember about when our oldest, for both of our girls, when we first had our first child, Kirby, when she was born, it's like Kirby hadn't done anything for us. I mean, she's just a baby. And I loved her because she was Kirby. And I used to tell the girls that when they were younger, did you know your dad loves you? Yes. Do you know why I love you? And they, no. Just because you're Kirby. Just because you're Jordan. It's not because of anything that we do. It's not anything that we earn. It's just I loved my daughters. God loves you. He sees you. You are the fine pearl of great value, of great price. There's a story. I wish I could had time to tell you the whole story, but Max Lucado writes a children's book called The Wemmicks. Anybody ever read The Wemmicks? But the condensed version of that is he talks about these little people, these little wooden people that a wood carver has carved, and they're called wemics. And anytime one of the little wooden people does something that's great, you know, runs faster or jumps higher or sings prettier or anything good, they get a yellow star. The other wemics put yellow stars on them. And anytime they fall down, scrape a knee or whatever, do something that's embarrassing or whatever, they get a gray dot. And so the more stars you get, that makes people want to put more stars on there. The more dots you get, people say, well, you got a lot of dots, maybe you need another dot. And so there's this, the wemics are labeling one another, and there's this one little wemic who isn't the fastest, isn't the prettiest, doesn't have the talents that some of the other, and all he has is gray dots, and he's sad. And finally, he is led to the wood carver that tells him, you're valuable not because you have stars, but because I made you. And it's a beautiful story. If you have time, it's a great story to read to your children. We are God's fine pearl of great value. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel damaged or not, whether you feel lovable or not, God sees you as great value, with having great value. And finally, because we are God's fine pearl, and because he is in passionate pursuit of us, God gave everything to be with you. God gave everything to be with you. Listen to the passage that Jesus is telling here. When he, the merchant, found one of great value, the pearl, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Do you see that this fine pearl that he was in search of was worth everything to the merchant? Everything that he had, he set it aside. He sold it to acquire this pearl of great value. Now listen to this. As I was talking earlier about the kingdom of heaven, that definition, the desire of God's heart being the kingdom, the desire of God's heart for you is so great that he gave up everything precious to him for you. And what he gave up, we know, is Jesus. Yeah, I just want you to kind of let that soak in for a second, that Jesus is trying to explain the heart of God to us. And he's using this example of the kingdom of heaven is like this merchant in search of fine pearls. And when he finds it, he sells everything that he has to acquire it. Kind of almost sounds like the verse that's probably most well known to us. For God so loved the world, you, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God, the world may look at us and see all sorts of things. I can't help but think of, there were beggars all through Italy. They were everywhere. And it's so overwhelming. And I just kept asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do with this? Because they were just everywhere. And a couple of them really stuck out to me. I forget which town they were in. I think it might have been Venice. But one was on a bridge that crossed a waterway, and he knelt down, and it was cold that day, and he had a big coat on and a big toboggan, and he just held out this cup with his head down, and he was just kneeling on these stairs, and he just held the cup out, and it was like he was saying, I'm worthless, help me. And then right around the corner there was another one. There was a lady that was in front of a church, and she knelt at the steps of a church as people were coming in and out of this church to see the beauty of this church. And again, she kept her head down, never looked up, and just held a cup out. And I just wondered, Lord, why are they there? I mean, what's brought them to that place where they feel worthless and they feel their only option is to beg for money? God sees a precious pearl in us, no matter what we see in ourselves. There's a Les Miserables If y'all have probably seen or read the book. My favorite version of that is, I think, was done in the 80s, 89 maybe. It has, what's his name? Liam Neeson, yeah. It's Jean Valjean, however you pronounce it. He's the guy. I want to show you a quick clip. To set this up, Liam Neeson in this character, he's run on hard times, and he's having to rob and steal and beg and anything he can to survive. And he meets up with this bishop, and the bishop shows him kindness, brings him into his home, and he serves him a meal and shows him great kindness and lets him sleep there and get a good night's rest. And in turn, this Jean character, he returns the favor by stealing from this bishop, stealing silver from the bishop. And I want you to see this scene, how the bishop responds to him. Go ahead, Lee.
Is anybody there? So we'll use wooden spoons. I don't want to hear anything more about it.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
You caught him.
But I had my eye on this man.
Oh, thank God. I'm very angry with you, Jean Valjean.
What happened to your eye, Monseigneur?
Didn't he tell you he was our guest last night?
Oh, yes. After we searched his knapsack and found all this silver, he claimed... that you gave it to him.
Yes. Of course I gave him the silverware. But why didn't you take the candlesticks? That was very foolish. Madame Gillot, fetch the silver candlesticks. They're worth at least 2,000 francs. Why did you leave them? Hurry. Monsieur Valjean has to get going. He's lost a lot of time. Did you forget to take them?
Are you saying he told us the truth?
Of course. Thank you for bringing him back. I'm very relieved.
Release him.
You're really letting me go?
Didn't you understand the bishop?
Madame Gillot, offer these men some wine. They must be thirsty.
Thank you.
Forget. Don't ever forget. You've promised to become a new man.
Promise? Why are you doing this?
Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. And now I give you back to God.
God's word says you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You are God's fine pearl He is passionately in pursuit of you, and he has given everything to be with you, Jesus. If you bow your heads with me. Father, we are unworthy of the price you've paid. We thank you, Lord, that you have, for whatever reason, you are passionate about us. We ask you, Lord, to show us the depths of your love for us. Father, I believe that there are those this morning right here that feel unworthy. Even as I'm speaking these words, they feel unworthy to be loved by you. Show them your great love. Overwhelm them with the power of your love. Change us, O Lord. And Father, we thank you that we are not our own, that we have been bought at a price. We are thankful that we have been found in you a person of great value. A pearl of great price. And that your heart's desire is to be one with us. Stir us, Holy Spirit. Speak deeply about your love for us. We are the treasure hidden in a field that you, when you found it, you went away with great joy and sold everything you had to buy it. Father, we love you. We thank you for that. Thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close this morning, I invite you to stand if you're able. And just the altar rail is open. I will be around. Billy will be around at the end of the service if anyone has anything they'd like us to pray over. Cliff just asked me, he said it's been on his heart all morning to pray for the leader of North Korea. Now, let me ask you something. You think Jesus loves the leader of North Korea? I mean, he's a ruthless tyrant. And I believe with all my heart Jesus died for him. Thank you, Cliff. Let's pray for him as we close today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you are capable of supernatural things. You've flung the stars in the sky. If you've placed that on the heart of Cliff, you've placed that on our hearts to pray for him. I pray, God, that that a miracle would happen, that this guy would have an encounter with you, a real encounter, life-changing encounter, and things would change in Korea. Father, we thank you that you have seen all of us. No matter what baggage we bring into the room, you have found all of us of great value. So, Lord, we just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. You are the pearl of great price. Go and tell someone that they are too. We are dismissed. God bless you.